The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are just beginning our Lenten journey to the cross, but I want to jump all the way to the end, to Easter evening, and the risen Jesus is walking and talking with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. But they don't realize it's Jesus. They still think Jesus is dead. And he begins to explain the scriptures to them. And then they go inside and he breaks the bread. And that's when their eyes are open and they recognize that this is Jesus. And they turn to each other and they say, "Were our hearts not burning within us?" And that's the question every one of us must ask ourselves. Is my heart burning within me? Is my heart really burning for Jesus? The season of Lent gives us a chance to look deep down into those hearts of ours. And let's be honest, there are habits and behaviors and the ways that we think and some of our attitudes that douse and suppress that fire, sometimes even put it out. But the holy season of Lent calls us to a conversion, to a real change in our lives and a transformation. What we're praying for this Lent is that the Holy Spirit would set our hearts on fire. If you know Ken Wunderlich, he sent this video to me of how to make, he made this video, and this is about how you make a fire using flint. Take a look at this. That's pretty cool, huh? But see, that's exactly what we want our hearts to do. We want them to ignite. So each week we're going to be asking the Holy Spirit a very simple prayer, and today we're asking him to ignite our gratitude. How many of you want to be stingy, selfish, greedy people? Raise your hand. You want to be stingy, selfish, greedy people. Some of you aren't really listening. You just say, "Oh, Pastor said raise our hand, I guess we should. Pastor says stand up, I guess we should." That's okay. Maybe you really do want to be that way, I don't know. Those kind of people tend to sort of just shrivel up, right? They tend to be just resentful and bitter and miserable. And then they wonder why nobody wants to be around them. And yet when I look into my heart, I see those elements in there. Sometimes I really do want to be stingy and selfish and greedy. But the Holy Spirit has a remedy for this. It's called gratitude. And when he ignites gratitude in our hearts, it ignites so much more. It ignites a deeper faith that's open to all of God's blessings. It ignites joy and contentment and fulfillment. It ignites generosity. When you're grateful for what you have, you are happy to share it. Gratitude is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. But without gratitude, Well, do you realize that everything that is wrong in the world can be traced back to a lack of gratitude? It's what we heard in our first reading. You've got Adam and Eve. God gave them everything, well, except one thing. But he gave them the breath of life. He gave them each other. He gave them the whole garden. He gave them the whole universe. He gave them his friendship. And it would have been enough if they could have just said, "Thank you, Lord, for all of it." Oh, no, no, no. They had to be greedy for the one thing they didn't have, the fruit of that tree. And what about us? I mean, what would happen in our lives if we would stop complaining about what we don't have and we would take an inventory of what we do have? If we would stop grousing about other people and ripping them to shreds and instead look for the good inside of them? If we would stop resisting the suffering of our lives as if somehow we're going to avoid it and instead we would embrace it as a gift, as an opportunity to grow. I mean, if we would do those things, it would poof, ignite gratitude in our hearts. And it sounds so easy, doesn't it? Why is it so hard to do? Because again, friends, we need a real conversion. We need for the Holy Spirit to come and set our hearts on fire. But that is precisely why we come here week after week for a Eucharist, which is the Greek word for thanksgiving. It's here that we are given the grace. It's here really that we are retrained week after week to say thank you to God for everything that he has given to us. It is here that Jesus shows himself to us just like he did to those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Here Jesus explains the scriptures to us and he shows himself to us in the breaking of the bread. It is here in the Eucharist that our hearts ignite as we meet Jesus. And then from here, it flows out into our everyday life. One of my favorite authors writes these words: "Thanksgiving is not just one form of prayer to be practiced now and then. It should be the fundamental attitude of heart, a disposition of life, a way of orienting one's entire life." Here's a simple suggestion, something you could do, maybe do this for Lent. I get it from my daughter, Abigail. When she was in high school, she decided every night she would start a journal. And in that journal, she would write down three specific things from that day that she was thankful for. When I asked her about this again the other day, she said, "I'm up to 7 things a day." And what happens when we begin to do that? Now all of a sudden, we're on the lookout for God's gifts. And I have watched this transform her young faith, especially in difficult times. So let me share with you this morning 3 things that I am thankful for. 1 thing God has done, and 2 things that he's doing even right now. 1 thing that he has done. It's what Lent is all about. Let's go ahead and hit the lights. And I'd like you all once again to gaze at the crucifix of Jesus. St. Paul used a simple but often overused word, underappreciated word, gift. The Father gave the gift of his Son. Jesus gave the gift of himself. Those arms stretched wide on the cross are his heart open wide to you and to me. Let one little spark of that enter into your heart and poof, your heart will ignite. Really, if you think about it, this is all that we need to be grateful. But the Lord gives us so much more. What I am so grateful for is that God keeps bringing people to our Trinity family. People who are maybe getting to know Jesus in a new way or sometimes for the very first time. And especially that he keeps bringing young people and young families to us. Because I got to tell you, as I am now nearing a half a century old, and I got the gray hair to show it, I am so thankful our God keeps our church so fiery and young and energetic and vibrant. One more thing God is doing right now that I am thankful for. My good friend Ron Stallman's going to tell us about that.